I love music, for music washes away the dust of everyday life from my soul. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with a thought for today. I love life, for it washes away the music of I love music, for it washes away the dust of everyday life from my soul. Now, that is certainly a movement back and forth of words there, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I love music, for it washes away the dust of everyday life from my soul. I had an email this morning, and I had had an email a few days ago, and then one a few days before that, and a few days before that. And each one of the emails was a lovely little statement saying, you know, Herb, since you came in my life, it's completely changed. And you know, Herb, my children really feel an uplift from all things because there's a new music going on in our life now, a new melody that we're singing. And then a few other things, and then a few other things. And then today, he writes, it's so wonderful having a family. He says to lean over and kiss them on the forehead as I'm going off to work early in the morning and have them open their eye and say, I love you, Daddy, you know, and go back to sleep. He said, it's just one of the most wonderful things that you could ever want. One of the most wonderful musical feelings in your heart that you could ever want. And he says, my one son is gone off to visit relatives, an uncle in Michigan for the holidays. My other son is on vacation, and my daughter is home with me and my wife, you know. And soon we'll be moving from Las Vegas back to San Diego. So, you see, you get music from so many ways. And music is not always just notes and melody. It's the happiness in the heart. It's the joy in the soul. That's why you're brushing off the dust of your soul with the music of your heart, because it opens up so many doors for you. Now, we talk about Gertrude oftentimes, you know, that lady in Switzerland, and she always liked music, but she never did anything with it. And then one day she decided to do something with it. And from that day, her life has never been the same. She is on call, on stage, for every other week to go and sing here and sing there and participate here and participate there, making the lives of people that hear her sing soar in ecstasy and feel that they're just in heaven. And this is her little contribution. Now, she could have been doing this all of her life. Now, why didn't she? Why didn't she sing all of her life? Why didn't she give out with that beautiful melody within her all of her life? Why didn't she do it? Well, may I offer this suggestion? None of your business. It's none of our business why we do anything or don't do anything. She did it because it was time for her to express herself in just that way. And before, she expressed herself in other ways. We all do this. We express ourselves in many different ways. My brother, he's sitting at home in his bed, nursing whatever, and I asked members of the family to call and say, I love you, and say, how are you doing, and wish him well. Well, some of us got through and some didn't with our phone calls. But when my former wife got through and talked to him, oh, how nice of you, Faith, how wonderful, you know. And it meant a lot to her, him and her, both, I'm sure. And she got to the night before her birthday, so that was a meaningful thing for her, too. But what is it that makes our heart soar? What is it that dusts off our soul? How do they phrase that here? I love music, for it washes away the dust of everyday life from my soul. I say to Ellen oftentimes, Ellen, you might do this. In other words, I say to Ellen, Ellen, do this or you will be sorry. But I just say, Ellen, you might do this. Now, anytime I make a suggestion to anybody, there is great impact standing behind it. Great purpose, great opportunity, and a great privilege. And if we don't do those things, then we're not blessed. Now you say, Herb, what makes you think that you're so almighty wonderful, you know? Well, because I'm like any parent. When our mother says to us, you might like to put your clothes away, that's not a request of choice. That is a command. Or your mother might say to you, I think it's a good idea to wash your face before you come to dinner. That's not a request, that's a demand. You become a better person because you wash your face before you come to dinner. You learn manners. When you follow the rules and regulations and suggestions and ideas that your parents give you or others give you, you bless your life in a very wonderful way. You dust the life of everyday cares off of your soul, because then you work in harmony with yourself. You see, the music of life is not something that is very evident at all times. The music of life comes to us in many different ways. You can look at the clouds and say, oh, how beautiful they are. And you are in the music of life. You can be sitting on the floor and just brushing your hand back and forth across the carpet pile, and little pieces of something jump up from there. And you reach down and you pick them up and you take them away. Maybe it was some dog chewing a bone there and left some little pieces, or maybe it was some of the leaves that came in off of somebody's shoes as they walked through the door or something. Nothing bad, nothing terrible. Vacuum cleaner would pick it up too. But you're there and you just pick it up because you're in the music of life. You're in the flow of divine order. You're in the flow of harmony. You're in the flow of peace. You're in the flow of goodness. And we have you all doing little, reminding yourself of the little acts of kindness and love that you've done. And you oftentimes speak about acts of kindness and love to yourself. And those are nice too. But think of the unremembered acts of kindness and love that you've done for others. If it's unremembered, how am I supposed to remember it? Well, it's like this. As we said the other day, when you straighten out a child's collar, just straighten it out without saying anything, just straighten it out, and then it's done. Or in the movie, the man was being nice to this one woman, and telling her to get her act in order, and he was in a perfectly proper way, and she kissed him on the cheek. Well, when she kissed him, she left lipstick there. Women who live rather interesting lives often leave lipstick. Women who live stable, happy lives never leave lipstick, because their lipstick doesn't come off. Their lipstick just remains on their lips where it's supposed to be. That's why they put it there. But for women who leave their mark on the world, on men or whatever, their lipstick comes off. So the act of kindness of another person there was to wipe the lipstick off of his cheek, you know, without saying a thing. But other people saw that lipstick being wiped off and they thought to themselves, woo-hoo! He's having an affair with this lady. He's having an affair with this person. We have no idea how many times a gentle, loving, caring kiss is given from one person to another with no ulterior motive to it other than just saying thank you, you know, and just, oh, thank you so much. It's wonderful, you know. It's like shaking a hand for men, you know. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, you know, or a hug that you might give. Well, now, can you imagine if we wore hug stick, you know, lipstick for a hug over our whole body, and then you hug somebody, and then here you got a plaster cast of this lipstick, hug stick all over the other person. I mean, then people say, oh, you've been hugging, you know. But, you see, the music of life is when you let the flow go, and you are, if you are a person who likes to have relationships with many people, so lipstick, no lipstick, you know, it doesn't matter. But if you are a person who is true to whoever it is you're true to, and you're kissed by somebody else and the lipstick comes off, it's still music, because it is untouchable music. It is music which is pure and beautiful, except in the minds of people who do not find purity in all things. They're always looking for someone else to put on their own level. And so if you ever observe someone who has lipstick on their collar or on their cheek or something, immediately think to yourself, hey, they responded in a very gentle, loving way. Because if a person did not want to be seen kissing another person, if they thought that that was an evil thing, do you think that they would create having lipstick on their face? You know? If they thought in any way that they were doing something wrong, do you think that they would create it being there? Well, they didn't create it there. The other person put it there. No. There's nothing in this life that happens by chance. Nothing at all. As evil as things may seem, or as good as things may seem, nothing happens by chance. There's always a cause in motion to bring it forth. Now, it doesn't mean the cause is always good. It doesn't mean the cause is always bad. It doesn't mean that the cause is anything except a cause. And so, when we learn not to judge, then we too have joined the orchestra of the universe. The orchestra that says all is beautiful, all is fantastic, all is wonderful. This woman who wrote from Poland after meeting my friend in Canada, telling her that she could translate into Russian from the Ukraine where she used to live. I thought I'd throw all those things in there to confuse you a little bit. She said that from the time her children were born, I don't know what she did beforehand, but from the time her children were born, she played classical music to them. Now, generally speaking, the word classical music means a very quality music. But I don't think that classical music as a word is acceptable. You see, when I say to you classical music, and then you listen to some opera, you listen to some opera in which they are chasing after each other's husbands and wives and they're, you know, being miserable people, I don't call that good stuff, you know. And when people are hurting other people, when they're robbing other people, they're stealing and things like that, you know, I don't call that good stuff. And in a lot of our operas, we have stories about things like that, about murder and many other things. And so when you put the label of classical on those things, like, what is some of the classical literature of the world? It's some of the most fabulous garbage you could ever want to read. The stories of illicit love affairs, the stories of murder and rape and evil of every nature, you know? And those are called classical stories, classical literature. We have to be very careful with that word classical. Now, Bach is very classical, wouldn't you say? Mm-hmm. And you listened to a little bit of Bach and you had enough. Mm-hmm. Because Bach is heavy. You listen to Beethoven and Mozart.
Wagner.
They're, huh?
Wagner.
Well, Wagner is pretty heavy too. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Wagner and Vivaldi and a few of these others come through like, you know, like big sledgehammers. And they're fine, but that's classical. But the thing is, just a tiny little bit does all that it needs to do. You want to listen to something that is joyous and beautiful. Now, I would say, to me, one of the most beautiful classical pieces I've ever heard is not a classical piece. And that's called the Golden Voyage. Mm-hmm. The Golden Voyage is just synthesized music, but some of the most beautiful, meditative, introspective music that I have ever heard. And I enjoy it, listening to it while I'm working. I enjoy listening to it. It can go over and over and over again, because all that it says is, "You're wonderful, you're wonderful, you're wonderful. I am God, I am God, I am God." Isn't that what we did to it, you know? And "I like me, I like me, I like me." You know? I mean, that's what rings through into my subconscious whenever I hear those beautiful pieces. And there's several that he has. And he stopped publishing them. They're not available any longer. But you see, this is how beautiful things oftentimes are. Now, you tell me that in Europe, the life and teachings of the Master of the Far East is not available in German anymore. Well, now, how very interesting. How very interesting. One day the Bible won't be available anymore, you know? How very interesting. You see, when we think here, "I love music, for it washes away the dust of everyday life from my soul." I don't love just any music. The hard metal music, the rock and so forth, it's just not my thing. Although when I was a youngster, jazz was quite lovely, and it wasn't my parents' thing. But of course, what was it my parents were doing? They were doing certain dances, you know, that were quite improper, you know. They weren't really, but and that was not what their parents did. Their parents may have done the waltz, or may have done the tango, or other things like that. But you see, each generation comes alive to itself with music that is oftentimes quite different. And so, if we would realize this, if we would realize this, we would not judge the generation by what it came up with. We would judge the generation by what its values are, what its desire is for itself. Now, this woman says she doesn't like her family to watch television or to listen to the radio, to hear any of these ideas, and her husband says, "Well, I want to keep up on what's going on in the world." Well, I ask the question, why? Why do you want to keep up with what's going on? Well, I want to know when the new televisions are coming out. I want to know when there's a new type of tape recorder and things like that coming out. Well, that's fine. That's fine. But just remember, you have to be very selective. I am going to force all of you for 5 hours to sit and listen to the same dirge, the same Bachian piece that tears you down. You know, and by the time you're done listening to it, you know, you are beat, you are dead, you are nothing. You are, you know, useless to yourself and to your life. Now, if I forced you to do that, you'd be very unhappy with me. But you forced yourself to do that over the years. Children are forcing themselves to listen to hard metal and hard rock, which is very bad on their ears. We're going to have a generation of people who find it very hard to hear. We don't need any of that. What we want to do is to listen to the music within our soul, the music within our heart, the music within our being. And when we do that, we will be so uplifted, we'll be so inspired, so delighted, that we will go through life with a whole new attitude. What kind of music do you listen to? Do you listen to music of peace and harmony and joy and goodness? Or do you listen to music of manipulation, control, heaviness, the funeral dirge type of music? What do you listen to? Think about it sometime. I'm very much aware of what people listen to, because people forget. And it's interesting how people forget. I get into the pickup truck, and whoever's been driving the truck has been listening to the normal radio station. And they have it tuned into some particular station, which is hard rock or something, you know. And I hear that and I think to myself, oh, how about that, you know? How about that? I wonder who that could have been. Now, was that Sylvia? Was that Ingeborg? Was that Ellen? Was that Brian? You know, who was that who was listening to this interesting music? Maybe it was Gertrude, you know, when she was driving her boys around here picking up trash on the property, remember? Who was it? Or was it Sylvia? Or was it Christina, you know? Because Christina just loves wild music. But what do we listen to? What do we refresh our soul with? What do we inspire our lives with? Think on these things and you will come up with some very interesting answers for yourself. And you'll also maybe come up with some new decisions for yourself. Yeah, I love music, for it washes away the dust of everyday life from my soul. You can do that too. But be very selective. Very selective. Have a lovely day and know that I love you, I love you, I love you, and I see everything going your way.
Thank you. Love you, love you.
Thank you.